Back with you, Giants Hot Stove League Show. Now, yeah, the stove is a little bit cold right now. It's cold outside. Not Green Bay cold, but, you know, Bay Area cold. Well, let's warm it up a little bit. Let's talk to our friend Jeff Young. Round the Foghorn is the site. He joins us on the UMA guest line here on the Hot Stove League Show. Jeff, how you doing, man? How you handling this lockout?
I'm doing well, Dieter. Thanks for having me on the show, and happy New Year. I've got a question. When is it no longer appropriate to even say Happy New Year? That's something they don't teach you in school,
yeah,
right?
It's 7 days. The longest you can really go is 10. So here on January 19th, totally inappropriate. Wow. I was just trying to be nice.
Well, that was awfully nice of you, but and I appreciate it. And you know, this lockout, I miss baseball. I've been watching a lot of Giants highlights and watching other sports, of course, watching the Warriors and watching the Niners as well. But I definitely miss baseball.
I mean, with the current, there wouldn't be baseball anyway in January. Pitchers and catchers would report, you know, mid, late February, and we'd all pretend like that's baseball, but we're not really, like, getting anything out of that. It's just kind of tweets and, you know, bad cell phone video from beat reporters. So it's not really until you get into spring training games, which are fun for folks like you and I who are super dorky and into all the peculiarities that spring training provides. We love guys who are wearing number 78 and stuff like that. But it's not really until the actual season starts that most people get amped and ready to go for baseball season. So I guess the question is, are we in a situation now, from just your vantage point, looking at these CBA negotiations or lack thereof, are we at a point now where that opening day is in any sort of apparel?
Yeah, I mean, last time we talked, which was about a month ago, we said that the middle of January would be kind of a good barometer for where baseball talks were, and we honestly, we haven't heard much progress.
Oh, no.
And you know, if you want my honest opinion at this point, I think there is a potential for there not being a 162 game season in 2022, because obviously the off season still needs to play out. There's still plenty of free agents that you mentioned earlier, like Chris Bryant, like Carlos Correa, who still need to find new homes. So that part of the off season still needs to happen. And then spring training has to happen as well, which is, you know, it's designed for 6 weeks for a reason, to get the pitchers ready. And I'm not feeling too confident about it, about there being a 162 game season right now.
All right. Well, I mean, is there some benefit perhaps to not having a 162? I know that that's the norm. I know that that's what has been deemed sacred, but they've changed it before. I'm not looking for 60. Is there an ideal number in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how the rotation is built right now, it's probably not the worst thing that they're potentially not going to play 162 games next year, because guys like Alex Cobb and Alex Wood, I mean, they're historically, they haven't been able to give you 25 to 30 starts a year. So I think there's in terms of optimizing performance, it's not the worst thing in the world for the Giants, for their pitching staff in particular, to not have to go through a 162 game season. But you know, with that being said, it's not ideal for baseball. It's not ideal for the players, because I believe their pay gets prorated at that point. If they can't play 162 games, it gets prorated. Yeah. So everyone kind of takes a hit. So it's not ideal, obviously.
Talking to our friend Jeff Young from Round the Foghorn, I mentioned a couple of pitchers earlier on, and the two that I'm really interested in are E-Trade for San Francisco. And I know people like Sonny Gray, and I know Chris Bassett's getting some talk, but the guys that I like, Luis Castillo of the Reds and Frankie Montas of the A's. Who are your, first off, what are your thoughts on those two pitchers as, you know, might pertain to the San Francisco Giants and trade talks?
Yeah, I think in regards to Frankie Montas, I mean, I think we just, at this point with the A's and Giants and how infrequently they do trades, I think we just need to see, like, even a more minor trade to happen before I can really envision them going big and getting a guy like Frankie Montas.
Sky Bolt isn't a minor trade for them?
Yeah. I mean, over the last 20 years, I think it's been Skye Bolt, Birch Smith, and Adam Pettyjohn. So these were all very, very minor
names.
Transactions.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too optimistic about a trade with the A's at this point. I know in the past, the Giants and A's, and this was rumored, but the Giants and A's had agreed to a trade for a player, but it got nixed by the ownership group on the A's side. But I don't know how accurate that rumor is, but it was something that was going around a couple of years ago.
I might have heard something about that. It sounds to me as if that lines up pretty well. So we won't name names or put ourselves in precarious situations. But yes, I think that there might be a bit of sensitivity with a certain real estate developer who spends a lot of time in San Francisco, but apparently cares more about the East Bay than San Francisco. Not to name any names. What about Luis Castillo, though? What about him? I mentioned earlier in the Hot Stove League show, six pitchers in baseball. Last season, 50% plus ground ball rate, 12% plus swinging strike rate. Two of those guys already on the Giants, Logan Webb, Alex Wood. The other four, Sandy Alcantara, Herman Marquez, Marcus Stroman, the one who got away, and Luis Castillo. I'd like to have three of those guys on the same team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the ingredient for Giants pitchers currently. It's guys who can get swinging strikes and use ground balls at a high rate. I mean, Luis Castillo would be great, and it would be even better if the Giants hadn't traded him away a couple of years ago. That might be still kind of a sore subject.
We don't talk about that part.
But obviously he's perceived as an ace, and he has 1 year left remaining on his rookie contract. So the Reds are still going to want a pretty sizable return, even if it is 1 year, for somebody like Luis Castillo. So, I mean, the Giants do have the prospect capital to swing a move like that if that's what they feel is going to put him over the top. And obviously with Kevin Gausman moving on to the Toronto Blue Jays, the Giants, they obviously have a void in the rotation that they need to fill. And they need, you know, they need an impact arm. And Castillo definitely checked that box off for sure.
So you say that with the strength of the Giants farm system, that has been something that was Farhan Zaidi's number one priority, as we talk here to Jeff Young of Around the Foghorn. Number one priority, and you're telling me that it's come to fruition here. I see Baseball America has five members of the San Francisco Giants in their top 100 prospects list. That is, I think, second best in all of baseball. I think there's a team that might have six, probably like the Orioles or something. But this team won 107 games, has a ton of good prospects. Listen, they love having all these dudes in the pipeline, but is it time to cash out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. They do have the prospect capital. And to add to your point about the five prospects that were ranked in the top 100, it's Marco Luciano, who's ranked at number 17, Joey Bart at 71, Luis Matos, who's an outfielder, at 73, Elliot Ramos, who's another outfielder, at 94, and Kyle Harrison, who's a left-handed pitcher, at 95. I think they've already kind of started that process with getting a guy like Chris Bryant. They traded an outfielder in Alexander Canario, and a pitcher in Caleb Killian, who really just bursted onto the scene in 2021. And those were two guys that were tough to trade away from them because they were very highly regarded within the organization. And, you know, I think if you look at free agency, there aren't that many arms for the Giants to really considerably upgrade the rotation. There's Carlos Rodon, who had a stellar season last year.
Oh, baby, don't I know
but,
it.
Yeah, he really had a nice year. I think he was an all-star. He finished in the top five in Cy Young voting for the White Sox and the American League. But he, like Wood and like Webb, or not Webb, like Cobb, he has durability concerns. I don't think he's pitched over 150 innings more than once or twice in his seven-year career. So, I mean, you're getting a guy who may not be able to make 25 to 30 starts, but he's going to command a pretty sizable deal on the free agent market. So maybe the Giants might be in a position where they can make a move. And Luis Castillo is definitely that guy because you don't have to sign up for a long-term deal, but it does come at a tough cost of, you know, giving up a prospect or two that the Reds are definitely going to want. So top prospects within the Giants farm system, that's going to be a bitter pill to swallow, but it's what they're going to have to deal if they look at the trade market to make an upgrade to the road.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, it is tough to imagine them going all in on Rodon, just given the arm concerns. There were real issues with Rodon going into the playoffs, and it's just a tough break for him. He pitches so great in this sort of make-or-break year with the White Sox, not just for the White Sox, but for his entire Major League Baseball future in a real way, and kind of gets tainted there at the end. So he would certainly qualify, but there's a bigger risk between him or a guy like Castillo and certainly Montas. Let's switch over to the relievers, though. I want to come back to all those prospects here in a second, but you know, obviously the Giants' bullpen was fantastic down the stretch. I mean, I don't think they get enough credit for how good they were over the month of September. The Giants at one point were rocking three starting pitchers and doing Johnny Holstaff games while they were trying to hold off the Los Angeles Dodgers, and damned if they didn't pull it off. And the Giants have a lot of great young arms, and we certainly know some of those guys who came into the fold at the end of the season. But if the Giants have this big pile of cash, right, and they don't want to go out and they don't want to lock in some 10-year deal, or they don't want to sign a starting pitcher to some 5-year deal, what about just throwing some cash at some relievers, in particular two relievers, right? Overpay some relievers. Why the hell not? Because it's usually a short-term deal. Andrew Chafin, who pitched for the Cubs and the A's last year, and Jimmy Nelson from the Dodgers. What do you think about Chafin and Nelson? I'm not talking about one of each of them individually. Excellent. I'm talking about both of them, one off season. You want to push some chips to the middle of the pile. These chips have dollar signs on them, baby. Let's pay some relievers.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have the money to swing a move like that. I mean, especially with Chafin and Nelson, it probably wouldn't cost too much in terms of average annual value. Chafin was a guy who I really wanted at the trade deadline, and I was a little disappointed that he went to the A's, but, personality-wise, stealth-wise, performance-wise, he would really be a nice fit for the Giants, even though they already had the best bullpen in baseball last year.
Right.
And it looks like it stands to getting even better with a year's worth of Camilo Duvall, who's probably going to be the closer next year. And then Kervin Castro had a really nice, impressive rookie season as well.
Yes,
we didn't really talk about him in September because of how well Duvall was pitching. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, there's an opportunity for the Giants to upgrade the bullpen, and somebody like Chafin and Jimmy Nelson, two relievers they could certainly afford. There's one guy, there are a couple of guys that kind of stand out, and I'm not sure if the Giants are going to be interested if they go for kind of a lower-end free agent, but a guy like Sergio Romo or Yasmiro Petit, I mean, they were on one-year deals with the A's. Kind of getting that veteran presence, and especially with a guy like Petit, getting kind of that swingman bulk innings reliever would really, he's the type of reliever who can fit in every bullpen. There's a lot of opportunity for them to make upgrades in the bullpen if they choose to, if that's the direction that they choose.
Yeah, and who knows where they're at? Obviously, there's not much leaking out because there's no real action. Yeah. There's no real league right now as we currently speak. But if the Giants are just looking, they should spend some money. They should spend some money, and if they don't feel comfortable dropping money, again, in the field, in the outfield, or with a new starting pitcher, if they decide to go different routes to fill out their roster, hey, spend some of that money on the relievers. You can never have too good of a bullpen. And plus, they need to re-sign Tony Watson, right? You can't let Tony Watson leave again.
Yeah, they clearly like Tony Watson. They like what he brings. I mean, a left-handed reliever who comes from a sidearm, sidearm, kind of submarine style delivery. I mean, he's again like Yasmiro Petit. He's kind of like a guy that can fit in just about every bullpen, and it's not going to cost you too much in terms of dollars or years to resign him. I mean, he looked very good for the Giants last year. His fastball velocity ticked back up to 95 miles an hour, when they got him, which is not something you would expect for a pitcher of his age thrown at the angle that he throws at.
Right.
And he performed really well. And it's a shame he got hurt down the stretch, but obviously the Giants do like what he does and what he brings to the table. So he's another one. They could really cast a very wide net for bullpen help. And it wouldn't surprise me if they brought in, you know, multiple relievers, veteran relievers on minor league free agent deals with invites to spring training and a chance to win a roster, or a chance to win a bullpen spot out of camp.
Well, one of the great things the Giants have going for them right now is a reputation, right? Like, so many
Absolutely.
Pitchers and players around baseball just say, hey, if I go to San Francisco, they're going to get me right through voodoo magic. I don't know how they're pulling it off, but Brian Bannister, if you got a pitcher who's broken, Brian Bannister can seem to find a way to fix him, and then I'll make a whole ton of money because I'll be, you know, I'll be an ex-San Francisco Giant or maybe re-sign with San Francisco. But they clearly have a reputation, as do few teams in baseball, of just being pitcher whisperers, and that's a great thing to be when you're looking for discount arms.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to look too deep into Giants history in recent history to identify guys who have gotten paid. I mean, Kevin Gausman's obviously the primary example. Drew Pomeranz is another one who shifted to the bullpen right before being traded to the Brewers, and that was a move that really paid dividends for him and the Giants. And, of course, there's Drew Smyly, who had a really nice, very brief sample in 2020. I think it was like 25, 26 innings, but he looked like a legitimate mid-rotation arm when he pitched, when he was healthy, and he got paid as well. He signed on a one-year, $11 million deal. So, obviously, if you're a pitcher and you want to improve your stock on a one-year deal, I mean, the Giants are the place to go right now. And I mean, to add the cherry to the top, they have one of the better defenses in baseball. I mean, basically, if you're a ground ball pitcher and you hit a ball, Brandon Crawford's going to gobble it up. And you know, it's pretty. I don't want to say it's that easy because it's not. But
no,
that's a strategy that's very successful. Getting the ball into Brandon Crawford's glove.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% there. Let's swing it back real fast as we close up the Giants Hot Stove League show with our good friend Jeff Young of Round the Foghorn. Let's swing it back to those prospects, and let's start with, you know, Kyle Harrison, who a recent draft pick, somebody who you say, hey, the Giants really like this guy, and it seems as if the scouts like him too. What's his time frame like, Kyle Harrison, for making the major leagues, considering that he was a draftee at high school?
Yeah, I mean, with a high school draft pick, you usually expect it to be a long-term project, 4 to 5 years. With Harrison, they were really deliberate with his approach because he performed well with San Jose. I think he averaged, you know, 13, 14 strikeouts an inning over the course of the season, which is really impressive stuff. He has a fastball. He has a fastball that that touches the high 90s. I think he's touched 97 in the past. He has a slider that's just biting. It's a devastating pitch. And so I mean, he's somebody after his name is on the map at this point. He was a third round pick. He was projected to be a first round pick, but fell due to signability concerns in 2020. He can move pretty quickly at this point. One thing that surprised me when I saw him in last year was his command was when he was coming up as a high school arm. He was known for a very mature approach. His command was one of the top qualities, but it wasn't always there, when he faced off, when he pitched in San Jose. But that's one of those things that it didn't really concern me at all, because that's a quality that he has, and he has a really good command of his slider in particular. And I think that's something that's going to improve. And if we see improvement in his command overall next year, he can move to Double A pretty quickly, I think. Wow. So if you're looking at a trajectory at that point, I mean, we're probably looking at potentially 2024, maybe even sooner, which may not be the fairest expectation to put on him.
Of course not.
Given that he's a high school arm. But, you know, he really had an impressive rookie season, and I think he's going to – I think he's one of those guys. He's going to really rise up the top prospect rankings.
Well, you're always a quality guest to have on, Jeff. We do appreciate it. You know, the control over your answers, coming in with great velocity as well. We love the mix of pitches that you can throw our way, and we appreciate you joining us on the Giants Hot Stove League show. Let's do it again real soon.
Yeah, let's chat soon, Dieter. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate
Absolutely, our pleasure. Great stuff there from our friend Jeff Young. Round the Foghorn is where you can find all of his great stuff. That's it. That's the show. We kept it a little bit hot. We got a little bit of sizzle happening there. Plenty to get to next week as well. You know, we can keep a little bit in the can. Maybe we'll talk some more about signing big money relievers. It's my favorite topic, apparently, because, hey, we're not going to do 1 hour of CBA negotiations. No way, Jose. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk to our good friend Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast. It's almost as if there's a playoff game on Saturday between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Why don't we do one full hour of radio about just that? It's coming up on the other side of the break. Kurtenbach with you until 10 on The Sports Leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.